Got Brother Sonny Satterfield here with us. He's a good brother, and he's had some really hard trials, and the Lord's brought him down a hard road, but he softened him up a little bit, I think. Right, Sonny?
A whole lot.
A whole lot, yeah.
You know, when I was just listening to Brother David talk there. When we know the truth will set us free. And as we walk as Jesus walked, we'll experience that truth. And it's so important to know the truth. And David has asked me several times to give a testimony of my life and where I've been and where I am now. And I've wiggled out so far, but I'm caught now. So here goes. I want to start out by telling you a little bit about my childhood, because that you have to know a little bit about that to know how I got where I am. I was born into a family with four siblings. I had two other brothers and a sister. I was like a middle child, but I didn't find that out. That seems strange, but I didn't find that out until the first grade. I was in the first day of school, first grade, and the teacher started calling me by another name, or she was calling this Chester, and I'm going, "Where's Chester at?" You know, I was looking around behind me, and she said, "I'm talking to you." And I, of course, I said, "I'm not Chester, I'm Sonny." And I just, you know, so she said, "No, you're not. You know, you..." Your name is Chester. So anyway, she took me out in the hall and had to call my mother, which was, I found out, was my aunt and uncle. The only mother and father that I knew were my aunt and uncle. And I didn't find that out until the first grade, and I'm in school here. They hadn't legally adopted me. My mother had given me over to them to raise when I was, I guess, 1 or 2 years old, and I didn't find that out until the first grade. And so that kind of shocked me, and I felt really rejected, and, well, why didn't they want me? And, you know, so that right there opened up the spirit of rejection in my life. Some traumatic experiences. When you're 6 years old, you don't understand all that, you know, and I thought something was wrong with me. And I went through, my aunt and uncle were very religious, but they didn't have any love. They didn't know how to give love, because they didn't ever feel love. They didn't have any love in their lives. They didn't know the Jesus that I know today. They knew about church, and they took me to Sunday school, and I'm grateful for that, because I got at least an exposure to some truth. And I'd walked an aisle, you know, when I was 7 or 8 years old. I'd said, "Well, I want to give my life to Jesus," and was baptized into a real common denomination today. But it doesn't matter, because most of them are all the same, you know. They're religious. And they had a daughter, a biological daughter, and she was 20 years older than I was, and she was more like a mother to me than my aunt was. Well, she got married. She was crippled. She had spinal bifida, and she was crippled, and they said she would never marry, and you know, she would never have children and whatever. Anyway, when I was just after this first grade experience, she got married and left me. So I was rejected again. You know, I thought, well, why is she leaving me, you know? And I went through so many of those experiences. When I was in the third grade, they moved away from the school where I had friends and jerked me up and moved me out to the country. Lost all my friends again, and you know, I was just not a happy childhood. And I, you know, I would argue with my mother, which was my aunt. I'm gonna just call her my mother and father from now on. I'd argue with her about discipline, and I'd always get my way. She was very what the psychologists call codependent. She was a people pleaser, so her life was me. and I could manipulate her and get my way. And then my dad would try to correct me, and she would interfere. And there was a lot of mixed messages there, a lot of me doing what I wanted to, of getting my way. And, of course, that just promoted the sin nature that was in me, you know, and I just always got my way. Never had to do any chores, never had to do, was disciplined about anything. If they was going to discipline me, well, I would always get out of it, and they would never follow through with it. So I want to talk about a little bit about my biological dad, who I really only met a few times in my life. He's dead now. He was an alcoholic. And it says in the Word that the life of the flesh is in the blood thereof. In our DNA, we inherit in all of the sins and iniquity of our fathers. All of the stuff that's in our flesh comes through. I became an alcoholic. I never was raised by any of them. I was raised by teetotalers. But I ended up being a drunk. I'm not today. And I'm not an alcoholic today. God has delivered me, and we'll get into that in a little bit. But it's not true that once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. Because it's just not true. That's not the gospel. That's not what Jesus said. That's part of our flesh. And we can be delivered from our flesh. We can be set free from it. But there is some truth. We're bent in a certain direction. Because of our biological fathers in our flesh, we're prone to go a certain way. And usually it's the way of our dad, you know, and mom. We just inherit that from them. But that's part of the old nature. That's part of that that's got to die. That's part of our sin nature that Christ died to save us from. And so I grew up in that very dysfunctional family. Not knowing love, not knowing discipline, not knowing any restraints, thrown off all restraints. I had no, and I wasn't able to succeed at anything. I couldn't finish anything because I didn't have any the skills to do that with. You know, I wasn't trained. I wasn't given that. I dropped out of school. I quit school in the 10th grade. I just wasn't able to be successful in the world. But yet, I was a con artist. I was a manipulator, kind of like Joseph was. My nature was that way, you know. Jacob. Jacob was the deceiver, manipulator. Well, that's the way I was. I would con people into getting my way, and I was very smart, and I could do that, even though I only had a 10th grade education. And so I just read a lot of books and learned what I could, and because I needed that to get over on people. And I did that for most of my life. I got married when I was 18. Had a child right off. I was still a child myself, but here I was, 18. Had a ready-made family. And ended up getting divorced. Abandoned my children, just like my biological father and mother did. Repeating the pattern over and over and over. There's so many kids out there today that just don't have a chance because they don't know the truth. They're trapped. But I'm going to tell you something. God knows that. God knows where they are and who you are. And if you're in a situation to where you're like that today, there's hope. I want to give you hope because whatever you're going through, God is right there with you, and He knows what you're experiencing, and can and will deliver you when the time is right. He's going to let you go until it's exactly in His perfect timing, and then He'll show you the light, and then you can respond to it. He's a loving and caring Father, I promise you. Even though you don't have a loving and caring Father, you've never had one, never experienced that, He'll teach you how to. What one is. I went through several, abandoned my children, didn't raise them, rejected them. My son, my oldest son right now is 41, and he's the exact carbon copy of me. He has repeated all the same mistakes. exactly the same. Even though I didn't raise him, he ended up exactly like his dad. And I'm praying for him, and I know that he's going to come into the kingdom. It's just a matter of time. Back up here a little bit. I was married several times, several messed up marriages, never had any more children. Didn't realize that anything was wrong with me. You know, I don't know if anybody's out there that understands that, but I thought it was everybody else's problems. It wasn't my problem. You know, I wasn't at fault if I just could find the right job, if I could just find the right woman, if I could just, had this or had that, well, everything would be fine. You know, it was there with the problem. And in one of my marriages, one of my failed marriages, I was taking her to a psychiatrist. And he looked at me, the psychiatrist, I thought I was taking her to get her fixed. He looked at me and he said, "Sonny," he says, "you've got a lot of problems yourself." And I said, "Me?" You know, after the first time in my life, I no one had ever told me that I had problems. You know, everybody was just, I don't know where that was doing. I mean, you know, because, and I respected this man. And so I said, "Well, what kind of problems do I have?" And that was kind of like somebody turned a light on. It was kind of the turning point. Well, God put that man in my life. It was kind of a turning point. So I started to say, "Well, I wonder what's wrong with me. I wonder what the truth is." I started asking myself, because I said, "I know I've had a lot of problems, but I thought it was because I was drinking too much. Or I thought it was, you know, some other reason." I would make an excuse. And that kind of made a turning point in my life where I started looking inside of myself to figure out why I was having these problems. Well, I didn't find any answers in there. You know, when we look down into our soul, it's already so messed up and so wounded. And we do it through introspection. There's not any answers in there. We can't go into that inner light like this New Age stuff tells us and come up with the answers inside ourselves. You know, they're in Christ. They're not in us until Christ is in us, and then they are in us. But I didn't know the truth. I didn't know that back then. And no one, you know, had told me the truth. No one had ever come up and shared the gospel with me. I remembered Sunday school. I remembered walking that aisle, but that was so far away, and it didn't ever mean anything to me. When I was in 1977, I'll get to the good parts here. In 1977, I was sitting in Daytona Beach, Florida, and was living with this girl. And the Holy Spirit come upon me. I didn't know at the time that's what it was, but I looked at her and I said, "You know, I got to stop living like this." I said, "So I got to find a church. I got to change." I said, "I can't keep doing this." And I had no idea why I was doing that. I do now, but at the time I just thought, "Well, I just want to find a church." So I did. I found a church. It was a very legalistic denomination church. They would run people out of the church if women wore pants. You know the kind of church I'm talking about. They beat their kids. I mean, just no love there. Everything, all rules that you can't keep. You know, on your own, you can't keep them. And why even would you want to? You know. But I stayed there for like a year and a half, and I learned a lot of word. I will give them credit for that. I learned a lot of the word, and I was reading the Bible. Let me back up a minute. The day that I had said, "Okay," I told this girl I was living with, I said, I have got to change my life. I thought that's all it was. Now I was going to go to church and keep a set of rules. I was going to change my life. I was going to start being good. That next day, someone on the street had given her a Bible, and she brought it home to me. And for the first time in my life, I opened up that New Testament. It was just a New Testament. I started reading it. Well, I could understand it. I go, man, you know, this is pretty cool. I didn't know all this stuff was in this Bible. And so I was sincere. I was very sincere. And I think, now I don't know this, God had to bring me along this trail so to develop whatever he wanted to develop in me. So I don't know, but if I could have heard the truth that Unleavened Bread Ministries is preaching, maybe I would have responded. Maybe I wouldn't have. I don't know. But I did not hear that truth. I didn't hear the truth. What I heard was religion. And I would ask questions, and some of the questions I didn't have answers for. And I thought, well, we're just not supposed to know that. That was their answer. Well, that's for God to know and you not to know. You know, and I had a lot of questions. A lot of things weren't adding up, you know. And I'm going to tell you, it was very, very hard. I was miserable. For a year and a half, I was miserable. I mean, not right at first, 6 months, 9 months. But then it started getting really hard, and I was doing what they call white knuckling it. I was going through the motions, but inside I had lust, and I had anger, and I had resentments, I had unforgiveness. All this stuff inside of me, and it was making me miserable. And so I called the preacher up one day, and I said, well, I quit. He said, what do you mean you quit? I said, I quit. I said, I can't do this. I said, I don't know. I'm not cut out for this. I am miserable. I'm going to go get drunk. I know how to do that, and at least I can find somebody that will be friendly to me. I thought they would. So I did that. And for the next, that was in 77, and for the next, I think 25 years, I repeated a pattern over and over and over of getting sick and tired of being sick and tired, finding a church. I've been to so many denominations and so many religious organizations, AA, you name it. I've been there. I mean, I've tried them all. I promise you. And I would stay for about 3 months, 6 months, and I said, this is just like the last one, you know? It's the same thing. Over and over and over, and I kept repeating that pattern. And I think around 2000, I really got sick and tired of being sick and tired. I mean, I was just on the bottom, you know. I was able to maintain and hold down a job. I'd been at the same job for about 5 years, but I don't know how, because I was doing drugs and I was drinking alcohol, and I'd miss a day or so a week, and I was in a responsible position, and I don't know why they put up with me, but they did. It's more that conning stuff, you know what I mean? I would make excuses for it and work my way out of the problem and manage to keep my job. But I told God, I says, God, okay, I'm sick and tired. I'm here again. I'm at that same place that I always was. And boy, I tell you, he spoke to my heart. I told him, I said, I'm not going to go find a church. I'm not going to go find a preacher. I'm not going to go ask a man. I said, if you're God, you know where I live. I said, you come here and get me. And he did. He spoke to me. He says, I'm going to be your father from now on. He said, I am a father to the fatherless. And that gave me hope, you know. I didn't change nothing because I told him I wasn't going to. I didn't try to quit drinking. I did not try to do those things I'd done in the past. I didn't sit down and say, okay, here's the rules I got to keep. I found out later why that he was going to change me from the inside out. He was going to save my soul. He was going to renew my mind. He was going to save me completely. You know, without any effort on my part, all I had to do was be obedient and listen to his word, read his word, and follow that truth as he gave me grace to do. I tell you, that's the truth, and it will set you free so much. I just want to give you hope. I want to tell you that if God can save me, he can certainly save anybody in this world. There is nothing too hard for him.
There's nothing impossible for my dad. And I used to walk around, and I was still doing a little bit of drugs, and I was gradually losing. I was losing the desires. He stopped me when I used to read that scripture and delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. He said, stop. Don't read it like that. He said, read it and put a comma. And I said, where? You know, it's like, delight yourself in me, and I will give you the desires of your heart. I said, oh, I got it. You're going to give me your new desires. He said, yeah. You know, I'm going to put my desires inside your heart. And so you're no longer having to white knuckle it. You're doing what you want to do because I've changed your heart. I've given you a new heart. And it's not religion anymore, you know. It's a relationship with me. I'm coming to live inside of you. And this was over a period of time. I was sitting one night. I remember sitting with some of my drinking buddies. And we were sitting there, and I wasn't enjoying it. I drank a beer. And I'm going, man, I ain't enjoying this. You know, and they was getting drunk. And I looked at them. I said, you know, no wonder y'all said, y'all are obnoxious. I said, no wonder no one wanted to be around me. You know? I said, you know, this is terrible. And they said, what's wrong with you? And I said, I don't know. You know, I don't know. But I said, I think God's changing me. And He was. He was. Went on I'd lost that job. God was so sovereign in this thing. You know, He was causing me to, He was putting me in a position to where I could find the truth. Because that's what I told Him. I said, Dad, if you'll show me where the truth, I'll follow it. I'll believe it. I said, I just need to know the truth. I said, you know, I'm so tired, and I don't know who to believe and who not to believe. And so I'd always fought using a computer. I mean, I was in construction, but all the other superintendents and around me everybody was using computers. And I said, I don't need that. I do not want a computer. I'm not going to use one. Well, He put me out of a job. God did this sovereignly. But I had a house that was being paid for by my ex-employer. He had actually laid me off, but was paying for my house, paying the utilities, so I had a place to live. And somebody gave me a computer. And I look back on this. I know I couldn't see it at the time, and I thought, well, somebody said, well, why don't you send out resumes online? I says, I don't know how to, I don't even know how to turn this thing on. So to make a long story short, there was about a 6-month period there. I was self-taught, learned how to use a computer. This is like in 2002. Couldn't turn one on, and now I help people set up their computer. It's amazing what God will do with you. But anyway, the reason for that computer was I started surfing the internet trying to find some truth, because I told God I wouldn't go to a church. So I started looking, and I said, man, there's some neat stuff on here, you know? And I started just eating it up. Well, God gave me a job that it was a created position. I mean, out of the blue, one of these resumes, a guy answered, and he gave me this job that for 8 hours a day, they paid me to do nothing. But they gave me a new computer, and I was sitting there. I was like a safety director. But there really wasn't anybody to direct. There wasn't anything to do. I mean, I might go out in the field maybe 20 minutes, 30 minutes, and the rest of the time I was just free to do whatever, sitting in that trailer, office trailer there. And so I used that time to study His Word. I mean, like for over a year that I just sit there and was online, and I found a couple of sites that was, I didn't find Unleavened Bread yet. But it probably wasn't time yet. You know what I'm saying? And I tell you, for a year, and that's when I really said, during this time, I started picking up more of the Word. And I started learning the Word. And I said, okay. I said, God, I see what you're doing. In other words, I've got to die. I've got to decrease.
So I said, okay, here's my whole life. I said, I give you everything, you know. And I'd already stopped drinking by then. I'd already wanted to, I mean, was trying to find, really wanted to find a church to go to, but I couldn't. He wouldn't allow me to. I'd visited a couple, and every time I would see right through them, you know. I would see the religion coming out. And so during that time, when I was doing all the studying online, and I made that commitment, well, when I absolutely surrendered my life, that's when all hell broke loose. I promise you. I had been driving a truck around. My driver's license were expired. All this were seeds I'd sown, and I was reaping what I'd sown. But my driver's license were expired. I've been driving a truck around with no insurance, no inspection sticker. The IRS, I owed them like $17,000. They were after me. But I didn't have any problems. I mean, I had no problems until the day that I turned my life over to Jesus and told him I give up. I got thrown in jail. All this stuff started coming out on me. Well, it was a test. It was a trial. Because I had turned back so many times. And God was saying, okay, let's see if you mean what you're saying. And I just said, Lord, you know where I'm at? I said, this is all, I mean, I got to get out of this mess somehow. And I said, might as well be now as later. And so the Lord started straightening up and giving me the resources to get out of the mess that I was in. It didn't happen overnight. I mean, it's not going to happen overnight because we've got to be tested. We've got to be tried. We've got to build up our faith. And we got to see the Lord deliver us as we stand in the midst of all those things. Little by little, as I walked out of that, those things started being, you know, I mean, I had to go get a lawyer and I had to do some other things, but it was a little here, a little there, you know. And I look back now and I don't have any of those problems, and I haven't had any of those problems for years. And some of the things God would just miraculously help me with, you know, when I didn't have the resources, He would show me what to do and where to go, and when the IRS got after me, that was another miracle because they took all my check. I mean, they garnished my whole paycheck. I mean, that was with all within a 2 or 3 week period, they took my whole paycheck. I had nothing to live on. So, I mean, if I'd go work another week, they was going to take it too. So I just said, well, I got to find another job. So that day, a friend of mine called me and said, well, I need some help. And I moved to Bryan, Texas. And that's when I really started growing. God gave me a place there. I still wasn't going to church, but that's when I found Unleavened Bread Ministries. And that's when I started finding out the truth. And I got married to the wife that I have now. And we're still together. But we've had all kinds of problems because the Lord uses our loved ones sometimes to crucify the old man. And that's what I've been going through. I've been going through a time and a period to where our loved ones are the ones that He uses to crucify us. And I tell you what, it's an amazing process if we submit to it. And He gives us the grace to go through it. And it's no longer I that live, but it's Christ who lives in me today. I don't have the right to make my own choices anymore, and nor do I want to. I found out that the path of that narrow path is the only way to walk. That narrow path that God, my Father in heaven, has called me to do is to walk as Jesus walks. And that's what matters to me today. And I'm so grateful that God didn't leave me alone. And during all those years and a period of time where I thought I was lost, He was there with me. Some of y'all have thought you've been lost and he didn't know where you were, but he does. He always knows where his sheep are. And many are called, but few are chosen. But if you will submit to the calling of the Lord, he will come in and fellowship with you. He will open the door of your heart. As you open the door, he will open the door and come in and fellowship with you. And give you peace and joy. All those things that you've been trying to do and look for yourself, he will give them to you. He is those things. He is peace and joy. He won't give them to you. He is those. And when you have him, you have all the things that you've been searching for. And he will save your soul. He will save your spirit. And ultimately, he's going to save our bodies. He's going to give us a new body. But he is salvation from the beginning to the end. And he knows what we have need of. So just give in and do whatever he says. Just be obedient. I appreciate the time to share this. Thank you all.
Amen. Thank you, Sonny. That's a good word. Well, you heard it from Sonny there that he inherited through the blood all the troubles that he was in. And we all do that. You know, we inherit from our parents through the blood. The life of the flesh is in the blood. Those sins, that sinful nature. And even as a child, it started showing up, you know, and in rejection. I'm quite sure Sonny's dad had rejection. You know, a lot of people that are alcoholics have rejection. They go to drown their problems out, drown the voices out, drown the rejection out, and something to pacify their life, you know. And, you know, rejection automatically leads to denial. You know, people are trying to get away from that voice. It's painful to them. That they don't know it, but that's a demon spirit that's been passed on from generation to generation. And they don't like to hear the voice of that spirit. It's painful. So the other side of this coin is they go into denial. And like Sonny said, he didn't know there was anything wrong with him. And if somebody would have accused him, you know, he would have said, no, there's nothing wrong with me, you know. And I've experienced that myself from inheriting rejection and denial and so on and so forth. So, but what Sonny did was he drank the blood of the Lamb, you know. I mean, Jesus said, if you don't eat my body and drink my blood, you have no life in you, you know. The Lord Jesus has given us his nature through the blood. And, you know, we don't physically partake of that blood, but we, in a spiritual way, drink it, like he said. You know, we search the word out. We desire to have the nature of the Lord. We discover the gospel is that that's exactly what he gave us. He gave us his life. He gave us his soul. The life of the flesh is in the blood. The word life there, suke, is soul, you know. And so the Lord has given us his soul. He's passed on to us a sinless life. He has given us the power to overcome. And of course, when Sonny realized that he just needed to turn it all over to the Lord came in, started making the difference. The Word came in and started making the difference. Started rewriting his software right there, you know. And he was partaking of the blood of the Lamb, you know. The Bible says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus cleanses us of all sin, all unrighteousness, right? Well, that's the neat thing about it. You know, when we're reading this word and we repent and we see that what the word says, that's contrary to our thinking and our nature, and we say, that's what I believe, Lord, I accept that, you know, that's my thought right there, then you're walking in the light. And when you walk in the light, the blood of Jesus cleanses away your blood, your old blood, your natural blood that was passed on to you with all that sin, you know. Like Sonny said, you know, he wasn't raised by his natural parents, you know, and he was raised by good people that taught him morality and so on and so forth. But it didn't make any difference. You know, his past life caught up to him. The blood that was passed on to him caught up to him. And, you know, why should it be that way? Well, I'll tell you why. You know, we're going to be in the kingdom of God because we choose to be. And because we reject our old life. And it's all part of God's purpose. You know, He chose us to be in Christ from the foundation of the world. He chose us to need a Savior from the foundation of the world. And we appreciate the Lord so much because of what He's done for us. And we are rejecting that old life and we're accepting His life. And if you're not doing that, you're just religious. Let's face it. You know, you're going to the same place all the rest of them are. You know, the truth is, you must be born again. You must lose your life to gain your life. There are some demands of Jesus Christ as far as discipleship goes. And it separates the true children of God from the fakes. And the overwhelming majority, of course, of what we call Christians are fakes. And they're in it for other reasons. But coming out of this fallen lifestyle, which we all have to do, I mean, if it's not the problems with the rejection and denial, then it's other things. You know, we all have to realize that we're sinners. God doesn't make saints out of anybody but sinners. And everybody that becomes a saint first knows that they are a sinner. And if you deny that, well, then you're never going to be a saint. You'll never be a sanctified one. It comes through repentance. It comes through rejecting that old life and accepting the new life that you have in Christ. And the great thing about it is, He makes it easy. You know, Sonny tried it his way. He struggled. He strained. He tried religion. And he tried to pick himself up by his bootstraps, and it just didn't work. It just wasn't his nature. And so he went right back to that lifestyle for many, many years. And of course, the Lord started dealing with him again and putting it in his heart and showing him how that He freely gives this new blood, this new life. You know, He freely gives it to us. And all He accepts, wants of us is to just desire this gift from Him and go to Him for it and ask Him to do it in us. Like Sonny said, okay, Lord, I tried church. I'm not going to church. I'm here. I know you're there. Come and get me. And He will. You know, what did Jesus do but lay aside His equality with God and come down taking the form of a servant? He came and got us, didn't He? And so we're just accepting that free gift that He's given to us, which is His life. He's given us His life. That's what the Lord has given us, His life. And it's really ours. We don't have to beg Him for it. We just have to believe what the gospel is, and that is an exchange has been made. The Lord has given us His life for our life. He made an exchange on the cross. He nailed our old life on that tree. All our sins and all of our curse has been put upon Him, upon the tree, just like the serpent on the pole in the wilderness, you know. And He gave us His life. Now we have His life. Now, how do we apply that? Well, the promises tell us very plainly that this reconciliation has been made. He has made the exchange already. We're accepting a free gift from Him, a gift of eternal life. And, of course, some people don't know what eternal life is. Eternal life is the nature of Jesus Christ. That's what it is. It is His life in you. You know, the life is in the Son, right? And if the Son is in you, then you have the life, right? And if you abide in the Son, then you have the life, okay? So it's very simple. We abide in Him first through faith. We accept this free gift of His life, His nature, and it begins to flow to us. And as long as we walk by faith, it continues to flow to us, you know. And He continues to manifest His life in us. And I've shared with you so many times, you know, of the gospel that the Lord has shared with me. I'll just read a little something here to you. It's 2 Corinthians 3 and 18. You probably know it by heart by now because it's one of my favorite verses. Because the whole gospel is there. He says, But we all, with an unveiled face, behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are transformed into that same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit. So we behold in a mirror. That's a gift. You know, you look in a mirror and you see your natural self normally. But the Bible tells us no. That's not the way to be transformed into His glory. We behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord. In saying, of course, it's no longer we that live, it's Christ who lives in us. We accept this free gift, not on account of our works, but on account of His works. Okay? We accept this free gift. And it's not only a confession, it's an imagination, you know, because He says very plainly we're transformed into the same image. It's important that we have the image of the true Christ, right? There are many people being transformed into an image of a Christ that's not the true Christ. Many. They've let religion tell them what the image of Christ is. They've let religion define who Christ is, what He will do, what He thinks, what's okay with Him and what's not okay with Him, and so on. But, of course, that's the only way we can get that image is through the Scriptures. It's the only thing that's been passed on to us that we know is of God and can prove is of God, and the rest of it is, you know, men change from day to day, much less generation to generation. So you can't trust anything that's been passed on down to you through religions. They all went astray, every last one of them, and they are today. But we can trust the Word. And He says this is an image, and it's an imagination, you know. We begin to be transformed when we accept the Word of God. The Bible says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So we believe with our heart, and we confess with our mouth. And of course, what? What is it? Well, we believe and confess the good news that Jesus gave His life for us, and that we don't live anymore. He lives in us. And those of you who were baptized, what you said then was, when I go down in this water, the old me is dead, and when I come up, I have the resurrection life of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, as He is, even so are we in this world. That's a good confession. It's a good confession that we need to give in the front of witnesses, you know, that Jesus has come in us by His grace. And of course, we know that if you go on down in chapter 4 of this 2 Corinthians, it says in verse 6, it says, seeing it is God that said, light shall shine out of darkness. Well, that's that glory of the Lord being manifested in that old life of yours. And that's the inner man coming forth, being renewed day by day. And the outer man dying, you know, as the outer man is decaying, verse 16 says, the inner man is renewed day by day. So, as we behold the Lord in the mirror and accept this free gift, the Lord begins to empower us. The power comes because of our faith. Okay? The gospel is the power of God to save the one that believes it. And this is the gospel, that the Lord Jesus has given you His life. You can't, like Sonny found out, you can't pick yourself up by your bootstraps. It has to be from the inside out that God does this. But it's His work. You're bound by your own nature not to do anything more than what your nature is. You need a new nature. It has to be a gift from God. Nobody can create themselves a new nature. It's not possible. Nobody can save themselves. It's never been done. But the Lord has given us this. So He said, light shall shine out of darkness, who shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. This light shining out of our heart is the glory of God, the very nature of God Himself, in the face of Jesus Christ. As long as we behold the face of Jesus Christ, not another, but the face of Jesus Christ. Don't let religion tell you who Jesus is. You go find out for yourself. Don't trust them. They can't be trusted. Okay. And in verse 7 says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. That is what? The first fruits of that glory. The first fruits of that word that's been sown in our heart, the gospel. The first fruits of a new spirit that God gave us. God has sown a seed in us that has within it everything that's necessary for Christ to live in you. Everything that's necessary, you see. So, He says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. So the vessel is weak, has no power to bring this to pass whatsoever. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the exceeding greatness of the power may be of God and not of ourselves. This is God's plan from the beginning. You cannot save yourself. You are at the mercy of God. You can trust in His grace, and He will do it. And then we're told again, a little further down, that we're always, verse 10, always bearing about in the body the dying of Jesus. That's the outer man, the old man dying, so that the life also of Jesus may be manifested in our body. If we're not going to permit the death of the old man, we're not going to see the life of the new man. You see? So, we bear about in the body the dying of Jesus. This can entail much trouble because your outer man and your inner man are at war and they're contrary. And it can entail confusion. But you have to trust God all the way through it, you see. And so we bear about in the body the dying of Jesus. We're being crucified as Christ was crucified. And this is necessary. This crucifixion is necessary. The old man has to die that the new man can have life. And always bearing about in the dying, in the body, the dying of Jesus, so the life also of Jesus may be manifested in our body. The life of Jesus. That is the life of the real, true Jesus. God wants it manifested in our bodies. That's His plan, and He's going to have His plan. It's going to be fulfilled. And some of you are rejoicing because you know that. And some of you probably don't believe that's even possible. But you see, that's where you've got to give up on religion. You're going to have to accept only what the Bible says. So that the life also of Jesus may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. So that the life also of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh. And that is, of course, this body that we're living in now. The lie of religion is, oh, you just accept Jesus and one day you'll be like Him, you know. But, oh, no, it's a mortal flesh that the Lord wants to manifest His life in, and that means all of His life. Not a piece of His life, all of His life. That you may be filled unto all the fullness of God, Ephesians says. I mean, this is God's plan for us. Let me read that to you. It says In verse 14, it says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory, that you may be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inward man." There it is right there. That's where the power comes from. It doesn't come from us. It comes from faith. You know? Faith entitles us to the power of God. Okay. Through His Spirit in the inward man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. So that Christ, see, some people say you accepted Jesus, well, Christ is in your heart. Well, partially. I mean, you received the Spirit of Christ, which is a born-again spirit, but it says here, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. You continue to hold fast the faith. For all of Jesus, not just His Spirit, but His soul. The life of the flesh is in the blood. The word life there is the word soul. Same word. The life of the flesh is in the blood. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, to the end that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be strong to apprehend. You know, some translators tried to talk us out of this because of their feeble doctrine and put comprehend in the place of apprehend. It's not comprehend. He wants us to apprehend. And apprehend what? Well, He said apprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the height, the depth, and to know the love of Christ. Wow, that's awesome. God wants to give us all of that through our faith, and He wants us to apprehend it. And, of course, religion has talked us out of it for many, many years. 2,000 years falling away because men trusted in men rather than God. And verse 19 says, to know the love of Christ, which passes all knowledge, that you may be filled unto all the fullness of God. That's what we want. That's what we desire. And we shouldn't settle for anything less than the fullness of God, the manifestation of Christ in us. And of course, there's many people that'll make war on you if you profess such a thing, you know. But you can see it comes right out of the Word of God. And you know, whatever you lack, what you see in the mirror is the answer. You know, whatever you lack, what the Word of God, who is Jesus Christ, who is the one in the mirror, has been promised to you. And so whatever you lack, just see that in the mirror. Because you know Christ doesn't lack anything. You know, he was the express image of the Father, was he not? He lacks nothing. You mean God is able to perfect us? Well, yeah, as a matter of fact. I should have read a little bit more in Ephesians 4. It says, I'll read that to you. And he gave some to be apostles and some prophets, some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. Well, obviously the church has departed from the norm here and they've gone to the Nicolaitan error of the pastor being the head of the church, but you can't find that in the book. We got the fivefold ministry that is used of the Father, used of the Lord, to give us a well-rounded understanding of who Christ is, so that the one we look at in the mirror is the real Jesus. And of course, they've got no right to teach anything but the Word, you know. So, for the perfecting of the saints, unto the work of ministering, unto the building up of the body of Christ, till we all attain unto the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a full-grown man. That's the same word for perfect, too, by the way. Unto a full-grown man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. There it is again. The fullness of Christ. That you may be no longer children, tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and craftiness after the wiles of error. Glory to God. We're believing for the fullness of Christ. Glory to God. This is an awesome revelation from God, and it will bring power in your life, you know. Don't settle for less, because God's people are not going to settle for less in these days. They're going to walk in the steps of Jesus, just like in the early church, those apostles who were being molded into the image of Christ through their faith and went out to do the mighty works of Jesus and manifest his fruit and to pass on that seed to the rest of the church.